is the disappearance day of Srila Lochan Das Thakur. Lochan Das Thakur was born in Gaudadesh, the area where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his divine pastimes, in the village of the name Kogram. His father's name was Kamalakara. His mother's name was Shubhanandi. When Lochan Das was very young, he had the wonderful association of the dear devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was born around 1520. He always surrounded himself by the personal associates of Lord Chaitanya. And from his very earliest years, he was always hearing the beautiful glories of Lord Gauranga and always hearing the kirtans of Lord Sri Gauranga. He was married at a very early age, but yet, because of his great love and attachment for Sriman Mahaprabhu, he was always completely detached from material sense gratification. For one who tastes the sweet nectar of loving devotion to the lotus feet of the Lord, the pleasures of this world become distasteful. Sriman Jamunacharya, when he was young, he was a king, and he was enjoying all sorts of pleasures of a king. But after tasting the nectar of the service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he wrote a beautiful poem in which he describes even the most enjoyable forms of sense enjoyment, even the sex pleasure itself, which is so much intoxicating to the whole world. He said, "Now that I have tasted the sweetness of devotion to your lotus feet, my Lord, the thought of such pleasures repulses my mind. I spit at the thought, and my lips curl in distaste." Why is it that the great devotees, they pray in this way? Because selfish material sense gratification is the power of Maya, which takes our consciousness away from the humble service of the Lord. It is not that the devotee spits and at the thought of the pleasure itself, but of what that pleasure does to your consciousness, how it degrades the consciousness and makes it unfit to properly remember Krishna. So Lochan Das, when he was young man, he went to the holy village of Shikanda, and there he surrendered to the lotus feet of his spiritual master, Srila Narahari Sarakara Thakur. Narahari Sarakara Thakur was one of the dearmost devotees of Lord Chaitanya. In fact, there are many stories about him. Narahari, he was the only one that Lord Chaitanya would allow to sing the glories of Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If anyone else were to ever indicate to the Lord that he was God in the role of a devotee, because Lord Chaitanya came in the mood of a devotee to teach everyone how to be a devotee. God coming to teach us how to live what he taught in the Gita. And of course, the principles of real devotion are very contrary to the impersonalistic conception that you can become God. A devotee's only aspiration is to be the eternal servant of the Lord. But he was God. But if anyone called him God when he was in such moods as the Vaishnava, he would hold his ears and cry out, "Vishnu, Vishnu," never ever compare the Jivatma to the Paramatma. If we even hear this, it spoils our sentiment for eternal servitude. But yet Narahari Sarakar Thakur had such a special, intimate, loving relationship with Sri Gaura Sundar that he could sing the glories of Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Lord, and the Lord would listen and he would not object. In the song of Bhaktivinod Thakur that we sing every night, Gaur Arti, it describes that as this arti is being offered to the Lord by Lord Brahma himself, Narahari is standing with the chamara, fanning the beautiful form of Sri Gaur Sundar. Narahari Adhikari Chamara Dulaya. And Narahari had a brother named Mukunda Sarakar, whose son was Raghunandan, who were also very, very great devotees. So Lochandas surrendered his life at the lotus feet of his eternal guru, Narahari Sarakar Thakur, who taught him all of the principles of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy and the path of pure bhakti. And he served his Guru Maharaj and served the Vaishnavas with such humility and such devotion that he was endowed with the sublime and supreme mercy of Lord Gaur Sundar. So it was in that village of Srikhanda that Narahari Sarakar gave the instruction to Lochandas Thakur to write in beautiful musical poetry the wonderful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lochandas Thakur sat under a tree, a Badri tree. In fact, that tree is still there today. On the order of his guru, he sat on a piece of stone, and that stone is still there today. And there, in bark, he began to write the beautiful narration of the Lord's pastimes. And to this day, that literature is one of the three most important biographies of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is called Sri Chaitanya Mangala. The first book written in the biography of the Lord was by Murari Gupta. It was called Sri Chaitanya Charita. But that is no longer available today. And the next book that was written was by Vrindavan Das Thakur. And he named his book Chaitanya Mangala. And the next book that was written was by Lochandas Thakur. And he named his book Sri Chaitanya Mangala. And the next book that was written, they were both written in the Navadvip Mangal, in the Gaur Mandala Bhumi in Bengal. The next book was written in Vrindavan at the banks of Sri Radha Kund and Shama Kund by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and the name of that book is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. But in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami explains that same Vyasadeva who wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, the infinite glories of Sri Krishna, has appeared again as Vrindavan Das Thakur to write the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the Vyasadeva of Gauranga's Leela. So the devotees in Vrindavan, understanding this truth, in order to make distinction between Lochan Das Thakur and Vrindavan Das Thakur's histories, they said Vyasadeva wrote Srimad Bhagavat to glorify Krishna. So the name of that Vrindavan Das who is Vyasadeva's book should be Chaitanya Bhagavat. So these are the three greatest biographies available today. Sri Chaitanya Mangal, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he writes in Sri Chaitanya Mangal how Murari Gupta was once approached by Damodar Pandit. They are two intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya. And Damodar Pandit asked Murari Gupta, "Can you tell me how it is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared in this age of Kali in his beautiful form of Lord Gauranga, who we have given our lives to?" And Murari Gupta began to explain to him his teachings from the Sri Chaitanya Charita. And that Damodar Pandit was Shikshaguru of Sri Lochan Das Thakur. And he personally explained the history according to Murari Gupta as he heard it from Murari Gupta. And then Lochan Das Thakur wrote it under that tree. He was a great, great musician. He wrote it in perfect rhyme called Panchali, song form. And he would go town to town, village to village, singing this beautiful song of Lord Chaitanya's life. In the beginning, he explains how Murari Gupta describes the coming of Lord Chaitanya. Narada Muni was traveling on this world, and he saw the effects that Kali Yuga was having on everyone. People were becoming so lazy spiritually. There are four basic principles which are like the pillars of religion: cleanliness, mercy, austerity, and truthfulness. And in Satya Yuga, all four are very prevalent and strong. In Treta Yuga, there's practically no mercy. In Dwapara Yuga, there's practically no austerity or mercy. In Dwapara Yuga, and then in Kali Yuga, austerity, mercy, cleanliness are practically gone, and the last leg of truthfulness, as the days go by, trembles and becomes weaker and weaker and weaker. Especially due to the four sinful activities of illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. So Narada saw that he was traveling around playing his veena, chanting the glories of the Lord, but he heard practically nowhere the glories of the Lord being chanted. So he was feeling very despondent. The great devotees of the Lord, they feel great grief in their hearts when they see people in ignorance, when they don't hear the glories of the Lord being chanted, which is the sign of an advanced civilization. So he began to tremble in a terrible state of grief. And he began to think that there's no other way, there's no other possibility of delivering these fallen souls in Kali Yuga unless Krishna personally comes himself and rescues them, because myself and no one else can do it. So he vowed that somehow or other, to show mercy to the fallen souls of the age of Kali, he must convince Krishna to descend. So he traveled to the spiritual world. On the planet of Goloka, there is the realm of Dwarkadham. In Goloka Vrindavan, there are four neighborhoods. There is Dwarka, there is Navadvip, there is Vrindavan, and there is a section of Vrindavan which is the Vaikuntha Vrindavan. So he went to Dwarka, and he was approaching the palace of Rukmini. Now, just before he came, Krishna, from Satyabhama's house, he was coming to Rukmini's house. And when Rukmini Devi heard that the Lord was coming, with great, great happiness and anticipation, she put on her nicest decorated clothing. And although her house, her palace, was perfectly, spotlessly clean, because there's no dirt in the spiritual world, still, she began to very carefully and enthusiastically clean everything. That is her act of devotion. And as the Lord was approaching, she would lit the ghee lamps and incense, and she offered the arti to the Lord when he came. And then she washed his lotus feet. And then she sat him on his beautiful bedstead. And then she took those same beautiful lotus feet and she began to hold them to herself and massage them with great love. And as she looked at the Lord, she began to weep uncontrollably. And Lord Krishna, he asked Rukmini, "I am here. I have come. Why? Why are you crying?" She said, "Why I am crying, my Lord, you will never understand. You do not understand." Because you are the Supreme Lord, you cannot understand why your devotee cries for you. Right now I have your lotus feet. But soon you will leave this place, and I will no longer have those lotus feet in my hands. And your lotus feet are so unlimitedly attractive. Even Lord Shiva, he dances for millions and millions of years as an austerity just to get a glimpse of your lotus feet. Even Lord Brahma performs great, great tapasya just to get one glimpse of your lotus feet. And Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, even when she's laying in bed with you, kissing with you, her mind is always aspiring to find service to your lotus feet. They are the supreme treasure, the ultimate benediction. And anyone who takes the dust from your lotus feet tastes the sweetest, most infinitely ambrosial nectar. That anyone who gains the nectar of serving your lotus feet no longer cares even for the four types of liberation. Such a person cares not even to live in your abode of Vaikuntha. The glories of your lotus feet are so great that just by thinking of them, just by having their shelter, I am feeling the greatest ecstasy. But the ecstasy I feel is insignificant compared to that of Srimati Radharani. She is the only personality that fully understands the unlimited sweet nectar of your lotus feet. And no one else can. And those devotees who have taken shelter of your lotus feet through the grace of Srimati Radharani, they are worshipable through all the worlds. And even their lotus feet are worshipable. Therefore, my Lord, I know what is your consciousness. Because of Sri Radharani's love for your lotus feet, your love for her is so much that you are always feeling separation from her, even when you are in my presence. And when you even take her name once, you begin to weep so many tears, they are like rivers flowing from your eyes. If you want to understand why I am crying, you have to take the mood of your devotee and understand, through worshipping your own lotus feet, what is their supreme nectar. So as she was saying like this, Narada Muni came to the door. And when he walked in, Lord Krishna greeted him, washed his feet, offered him all seva. The Lord loves to worship his devotee. And as he looked at Narada, although Narada was in great ecstasy seeing the Lord could tell there was a great unhappiness in his heart. And he asked Narada, "What is troubling your heart?" And Narada said, "But I've just been in the material world, and it's Kali Yuga there. And I see what's happening to people. You're becoming so irreligious. They are totally rejecting you. Nowhere do I hear the sincere chanting of your holy names. Nowhere do I see real bhakti. Please, my Lord, what can be done for these people? Only you can save them." And when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he said, "My dear Narada, let me tell you a confidential secret. I have just been discussing this, a specific matter with Rukmini Devi, and she has told me that the only way I can understand what is real bhakti is if I take the mood of Srimati Radharani to taste it myself, to understand what are the beauty and glories of my lotus feet and the happiness of serving them." Simultaneously, when I'm on the earth in the mood of Srimati Radharani, my devotee, I will give the whole world prema bhakti freely for anyone who will accept it. I will come as the Yuga avatar, and I will spread the glories of the Sankirtan movement. Within the scriptures it is explained that in this age of Kali, the only means of deliverance is the chanting of the holy names. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatyarandyata. It is explained, kaler dosa nide raja nasti eka mahanguna, kirtanareva krishnasya mukta sangha param vraja. That yes, this age of Kali is an ocean of faults. But there's one benediction. That simply taking the name of Krishna, everyone can attain the supreme perfection of liberation, which is prema bhakti, love of God. I will come to distribute that love of God through the chanting of the holy names. I will personally demonstrate how to chant the holy names by raising my long arms and inviting everyone to take this Maha Mantra. The mercy that I will deliver in the age of Kali, I have never delivered at any time before through any of my other incarnations. This will be the incarnation of Gauranga. I will come, my form will be very tall. I will have a complexion of beautiful molten gold, more brilliant than millions of suns. My arms will extend beautifully below my knees, and I will provoke all people, all living beings, to chant the holy name. And all of a sudden, right before Narada Muni's own eyes, Krishna revealed his divine form as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Narada Rishi saw that form, he had never, ever experienced such ecstasy before. Such beauty, such mercy, such love. Narada began to tremble. His eyes, his heart began to burst with ecstatic love upon seeing Sri Gaurasundara uncontrollably. He practically was crying so much he could not even see. And then the Lord accepted again his form as Sri Krishna of Dwarka. And he told Narada, "Now you can go and you can tell Shiva, Brahma, and the principal demigods that in Kali Yuga they should also descend and assist me in these beautiful pastimes and explain to them of my coming of Lord Sri Chaitanya." And Narada left Dwarka playing on his veena, and he went to so many places, to Naimasharanya where he met Uddhava. He went to Kailash, where he met Lord Shiva and Parvati. He went to Brahmaloka, where he met Brahma. And he was telling them all that Kali Yuga is the most worshipable and glorious of all ages, because the Lord will come in his most magnificent and merciful of all incarnations, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, to teach everyone how to love Krishna freely through the chanting of the Maha Mantra. So in this way, Lochan Das Thakur begins his beautiful story of the life of Lord Sri Chaitanya. Today we are also celebrating Pushyabhishek, the bathing ceremony of Radha and Krishna that takes place in the winter season. And here we do it in a special way, where we bathe Radha and Krishna in flower petals. Krishna says in Gita, "Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakti prayachchati." Offer me a leaf, flower, little water, and I will accept it if it is offered with devotion. So when we bathe the Lord with flower petals, it does not have the cooling effect of bathing him with water. But we should know that we are not bathing the Lord with flower petals, but we are offering our devotion, offering our feelings of gratitude, offering our desire to want to be the eternal servant of the Lord through these petals of flowers. And it is Radha and Krishna's great, great pleasure to bathe in the sincere devotional feelings of their devotees. And we should know that the pujaris who are going to so graciously shower the Lord with flowers, they are offering the flowers of bhakti on behalf of all of us. It is not that we are just spectators. Everyone in the temple who has that mood of offering their devotion to the Lord, offering their sincere desires at the lotus feet of the Lord. That sincere desire takes the form of those flower petals, and the pujaris will offer our flower petals on the lotus feet of the Lord. I remember, I think it was 1 or 2 years back, when was the communal riots here in Bombay? 2 years back. I remember we had a nice program at Raghunath Prabhu's house. He has a special mystic power to invite us in the most unusual occasions. 1 year we went to Raghunath Das's house, beautiful garden, you have seen, decorated like no one else decorates. Lights and stages and wonderful prasadam arrangements, very elegant. And 1 year we went there, and it had not rained yet that year, and the first rain came. I remember I was speaking on the verse, Anad Bhavanti Bhutani Parajanyana Nasambhava, that all living beings subsist on food grains, and food grains are grown from rains, and rains are born from the performance of sacrifice. And we had just completed a big Harinam Kirtan, which is the sacrifice recommended in this age of Kali Yuga. So we had the best sacrifice. Even Raghunath's father-in-law was dancing in ecstasy. And everyone was dancing, very joyfully. Mahayagya, Jagyarthat, Jagyai Sankirtana Praya, Yajantihi Shumerisha. Those who are intelligent, they perform the Yagya of Hari Sankirtan in this age of Kali Yuga, as was taught by Lord Chaitanya. This is the teaching of Bhagavad. So we just had a big, big yagya of Sankirtan, and I started reading this verse that rain is born of yagya, and as soon as I said rain is born of yagya, it was not just a rain, it was a downpour. Do you remember? Immediately when I said yagya, just thunder and just downpour and high winds and freezing cold, and everything was being devastated and we all had to run. And instead of having the program in such a luxurious natural scene of a park, we had it in the greasy, oily garage where they parked the cars for shelter. And it was raining so much that within minutes there was flood. Rain was pouring everywhere. So that was one experience. And then the next program we had there, it was long after the rainy season. And just when we began the kirtan, just when we ended the kirtan, again torrents of rain came. What month was that? Huh? It was in October. It hadn't rained for weeks and weeks and weeks. But just after the kirtan, when the lecture was about to begin, floods, storms. So then the next time Raghunath said, January. It's not gonna rain in January. So we decided to have it in January. And what happened in January is they broke that mosque in Ayodhya. That's what happened in December. And everything was all right. But then that was like the first day when all of a sudden there was big riots in Bombay. And we didn't know. We were on our way driving to Andheri. Huh? And as we're driving, we see there was no traffic. And that is not an ordinary thing in Bombay. We were the only car on the road. And there were military men with tanks and gigantic machine guns as big as this stage, and no one was on the street. And we were driving to Raghunath's house. And when we got there, we started chanting, dancing, feasting, discussing how there's danger at every step in this material world. Especially dancing, chanting, feasting in the middle of racial riots between Muslims and Hindus. But Prabhupada does say that the only safe place in this whole material creation is where there is the kirtan of the holy names of Krishna. So with faith in that, although we heard bombs going off, we were chanting Hare Krishna. And on the way back, our vehicle passed something like 15 burning vehicles, dead bodies, everything in the vehicles. So somehow we came back. But the next day was Pushyabhishek. So we were thinking, who's going to come? But still, just because there's murdering, just wholesale murdering between Hindus and Muslims all over Bombay, it doesn't mean the Didi should not have their Pushyabhishek. It was already announced. So we gave one of the brahmacharis was given 350 rupees. Just buy as many flowers as you can get. So he went to the regular flower. As far as I remember, this is true. He went to the regular flower stall where we would get flowers. And that man was so afraid. I believe he was a Muslim. He was afraid that in this neighborhood they're going to come, because just three doors down, they burnt that tire factory and there was flames going to the sky, huh? Just down the street. So he was thinking that I have to get out of here. They're going to burn my store. They're going to kill me. But I have all these roses. I don't know what to do with these roses. I'll sell them. What was it? 1 rupee a dozen. First class fragrant roses. Big, beautiful. 1 rupee a dozen. In America, roses cost $2 a piece. $2 means 60 rupees for one. Correct? This is, for Raghunath's sake, 1 rupee is about 3 cents, 3.5 cents for a dozen. So he gave him 350 rupees and he got almost 4,000 roses. Huh? 3,000, almost 4,000 roses. And he came back with all these roses. So we were going to have a wonderful Pushyabhishek. We decorated the whole altar with roses. We decorated Prabhupada's Vyasasan with roses. We decorated the temple with roses. We decorated some of the devotees with roses. We made the deities' dresses out of nothing but roses. And still, we had so many, we had mountains of roses that we made petals out of. And we had these, and outside, there was just screaming of people, and fear, and curfews, and military men, and burning of cars. And we went to, the day before, that morning, I went to someone's house in a high-rise, and we were looking out the window, and we saw all over Bombay just buildings burning. This is the atmosphere. Everyone was so afraid. And here in Radha Gopinath's temple, while all that was going on here, everything was bright, brilliant, with fragrant roses. The deities were being showered by just enormous amounts of rose petals. And there was lice kirtan and dancing. Not that many devotees came that night, but whoever came, it was one of the most precious and rememberable experiences of our life. And what was that experience? We could see right before our eyes the material world and the spiritual world. Here is the material world, a place of fear, a place of death, a place of hatred and envy. Right out that door. And here is the spiritual world, where through whatever happens, beyond the modes of material nature, Radha and Krishna are simply enjoying the beautiful love of their devotees in Vrindavan. Everyone's dancing, chanting, and feasting. Nitai Gaur Premanandi! On this auspicious occasion, we will all have the great, great fortune of being blessed by this most wonderful and unique darshan of seeing Sri Sri Radha Gopinath bathed in the flowers of the love of their devotees. Are they ready yet?